Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Okay, we're going to get straight into the Word. We're going to do a bit of a Bible study this morning, so in the Old and New Testament. But if you've got the study edition, that's all you need, because the Old Testament scriptures that you need are in here. Then we're going to have time to meet with the Lord at the end. Let's start with Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Enter into life through the narrow gate. There is a wide gate that leads to a wide road, but that leads to destruction, and many go that way. But the gate to the narrow road that leads to life is small, and only a few find it. Are you walking on the narrow way? The narrow road. Jesus says there's only a narrow gate to life, to eternal life, to God's life. And of course, in John chapter 10, he says that he is that gate. He is the only entrance into that life. But the narrow gate leads to a narrow way. So Jesus says that he is not only the gate, he is the way. Now, we haven't accomplished much if we get people through the gate, but not onto the way. Which is why Jesus says that we're to make disciples. Because disciples not only enter through the narrow gate, but they walk on the narrow way. There is a broad way that leads to destruction, but the narrow way is the way of life. Now, Jesus walks on the narrow way. So those who follow him on the narrow road. He doesn't walk on the broad path that leads to destruction. He works there, just as we have to work there, but we'll come to that later. But that's not where he walks, that's not where he leads. He leads his people on the narrow way. Now, of course, this is fulfillment of prophecy. And we can turn to Isaiah 35. That's on page 821, if you've got the study version. And there, prophetically, God is saying, springs of water will burst forth in the wilderness, and rivers will flow in the desert. Where before there was only burning sand, there will be pools of water, and the ground will be alive with bubbling springs. Instead of the lairs of animals, grass, reeds, and papyrus will grow. A highway called the Way of Holiness will be there. Those who have not been cleansed from their sins will not be able to walk there. It will be only for followers of the way. Those who persist in the foolishness of sin will not walk there. The devil will not be on that way, nor will any of his demonic forces be found there. Literally, it says, no lion or wild animals, the devil and the demonic powers, can get up on that way. It is the place of perfect security, perfect provision, perfect peace with God. No matter what is happening in our circumstances, it's the place where we prosper. But that is not just a personal thing, as we know. It's so that we can prosper in the purposes of God. Now, the one who leads us on this way is our shepherd. The good shepherd. He laid down his life for the sheep, which enabled him to be the narrow gate that leads to the narrow way. So if you just turn the page, you've got Psalm 23 there. Because the shepherd is the one who leads the sheep. His sheep know his voice and follow him. So all those that are truly following the good shepherd are walking on the highway of holiness. Are we there? Now, a highway is a raised way, literally. It's a way that is made through, let's say, swampland. Now, you've got to use your imagination. You see this road on that is raised up, steep banks on either side, and swampy, marshy ground either side of the road. The devil can prowl around on the marshy ground, but he can't get up on the highway of holiness because he isn't holy.
That's it.
And he isn't forgiven.
That's right.
And never will be.
Come on.
So all he can do is prowl around,
right,
waiting for someone to step off that narrow way and make himself vulnerable. A Christian who goes into disobedience and for a period of time even just leaves following Jesus makes himself vulnerable to all kinds of attacks from the enemy, which would not be possible if he remained true and faithful, walking on that highway of holiness. Now, Jesus is never going to push anyone off that highway. Nobody's going to snatch anyone from his hand. So the devil can't snatch anybody off the highway. They can only choose to walk off it and back into the swampland where they will be vulnerable. Now, you don't need me to tell you, that would be foolishness. But then you can see how many foolish Christians there are. Because there are so many that choose to do that at some point in their life, to their regret. Well, always to their regret. But let's see what Psalm 23 says in this version. I can never be in need, for the Lord himself is my shepherd. Now, that's the first thing we need to understand. If I'm walking on that highway following Jesus, I can never be in need. Needs may arise, but they will always be met. My God shall supply every need of mine according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4. So, I can never be in need, for the Lord himself is my shepherd. He causes me to rest in his abundant provision and leads me to the place of peace with him. See, while you're walking on that way with the Lord, you're at peace. When you lose your peace, it's a warning sign. You're getting near the edge. Come back into the center of his will and purpose. He restores my soul and leads me in ways he knows to be right, so that his name will be honored in my life. That means he himself, of course, will be honored. Even though I may have to walk through times of the deepest darkness. Now, If you remember, the book of Revelation talks about the heavenly city of Jerusalem, and through the city there flows the river of life. Well, this highway of holiness doesn't flow through the heavenly city, it flows through the darkness of the world. So wherever there is darkness, there is this highway. And therefore, the people that walk on it are the people of light. So the light, Jesus, came into the darkness of the world to establish this highway of holiness and righteousness in the darkness of the world. So it's not just a sort of a straight road that goes through the middle of the earth. Wherever you go, you take this highway with you. Even though there's darkness all around, you are not in danger from the darkness because you're still on the highway. Now, of course, our job, our responsibility, is to draw people onto that highway. They can only do that by coming through the gate. It's not a question of asking or them asking Jesus to come into their lives in the darkness of the swamp. Yeah. They have got to be rescued from the swamp and brought onto the highway. Yeah. Are you there? Yes. Now that's what happens when a person is truly born again through repentance and faith. Yeah. They need the repentance to get through the gate and the faith to walk on the highway. Hello? This is a way of faith. Okay, even though I may have to walk through times of deepest darkness. So, it says the valley of the shadow of death, but actually the Hebrew means of deepest darkness. So even though God might lead us to places of deepest darkness, we will still be in the light. Amen. And we will have nothing to fear. We've got nothing to fear from the darkness, but we don't dabble with the darkness. We don't flirt with the darkness. We keep walking as the children of light. Are you breathing still? So even though I may have to walk through times of the deepest darkness, I will not need to be afraid of any evil befalling me. Any believers in the room this morning? Okay. For the Lord is with me, my strength and my guide. His rod and his staff. I mean, this is telling you what it means, not just translating the words. Lord, you prepare before me a table on which is all your provision despite the enemy's opposition. Now, on this road, there's a table. I told you, you're going to have to use your imagination.
Come on.
Because wherever you walk on this road, the table goes with you.
Come on.
No, it's not Meals on Wheels. No. On that table is not food, but it's your total provision in Christ.
Amen.
Salvation, life, love, power, authority, goodness, everything you will ever need.
Right.
All the riches, all the grace, all the power, all the fruit of God's Spirit, all on that table, prepared for you. All you have to do is to lay hold of whatever is on the table whenever you need whatever you need.
Come on.
Now, because the enemy can't get up on that highway, he can't touch the table. Neither can he hinder you from taking what you need from the table. Because he is barred from that highway of holiness. All he can do is growl at you, snarl, prowl around, jealous that you're where he once was, but he can't get back there. Hallelujah. He was once there in heaven. Okay, so you have anointed me with the oil of your Spirit, and I overflow with the fullness of your life. That's what it means to say your cup overflows. You're overflowing with the fullness of life. Why? Because on this highway, there is the one who is the light of life. Jesus said, this narrow way leads to life.
Yes.
Amen. The broad road leads to destruction. Aren't you glad he has delivered you from the broad road and put you on the narrow road? Your goodness and love are sure to be with me for the rest of my life, and I will live with you in your glory forever. Praise God.
Amen.
So the shepherd is leading us.
Right.
And the shepherd is caring for us. Turn to Revelation chapter 7. I'm happy. Anybody else happy? Verse 16, no longer will they hunger or be thirsty. Now, you see, this is talking, of course, about the redeemed, but we are the redeemed. So as we walk by faith in the Good Shepherd now, this prophetically is true for us now. No longer will they hunger or be thirsty, neither will they be burned by the sun nor any scorching heat. Because the Lamb in the center of the throne will be their shepherd.
Amen.
The shepherd is now in the center of the throne. What does that mean? Well, just remember it says that heaven is his throne. It's not a chair floating around in space, but heaven is his throne and earth his footstool.
Amen.
So in the midst of heaven, there is the Lamb who is our shepherd. Now, this shepherd laid down his life for the sheep, which is why he is the Lamb who is our shepherd. He is not, as we read in John 10, a hireling who runs off as soon as the enemy shows his face. But he is the one who from the midst of the throne is leading us. So the one who is walking before us on this highway of holiness is the one who is in the midst of the throne.
Yes.
From the midst of heaven, Jesus is leading you. Don't get too excited because it's Tuesday. But everything that the Holy Spirit does in you started in the center of the throne.
Yes.
Because Jesus says that the Spirit does nothing of himself.
Right.
He does only what the Father and the Son tell him to do. So the leading of your life comes through the Holy Spirit, God's voice within you, but that voice can't speak unless he is told what to say by the one who is in the midst of the throne. So from the very middle of heaven itself, God is leading you on that highway of holiness. Now you remember what it says in John 16, that all that the Father has, the Son has, and everything that the Son has, the Spirit makes known to you, makes known in your experience. So the plan that Jesus has is that by the Spirit, everything that the Father and the Son have is communicated to you as you walk on that highway of holiness, on that narrow way. You're getting too excited again, aren't you? It's bad for your heart. Just calm down a little bit. Okay, so that's wonderful. At least I think it's wonderful. I don't know if you're at the same meeting that I'm at, but I think it's wonderful. That your life is being orchestrated right from the middle of the throne according to the plan that the shepherd had before you were even born or thought of.
Right.
Jesus.
That's it.
It's all working out according to his plan.
Yes.
Even when you're disobedient, he brings you back to the plan because he's going to keep you walking on that way. Because that way leads to life, it leads to the fulfillment of his plan and purpose for your life. Are you getting this? Now, of course, this is wonderful. Because it means every time you obey the Spirit, you're obeying the Father and the Son. Every time you honor the Holy Spirit by doing what he says, you honor the Father and the Son. You see, the three persons of the Trinity can never act independently of each other. They always have to act together. The Son can't do anything independently of the Father. The Spirit can't do anything independent of the Son or of the Father. So this is wonderful, because when the Spirit of God speaks to you, the Father and Son are speaking to you. You can make your choice as to which one it is. Sometimes it's the one, sometimes it's the other. When I'm listening to the Lord in the mornings, one moment the Father can be speaking to me, the next moment the Son can be speaking to me, then the Father can be speaking to me about the Son, and the Son can then be speaking to me about his Father. But it's all the same God. So you can sort of move around in the three persons of the Trinity like that.
Wow.
It's glorious. It's wonderful. However, we also have to recognize, therefore, that if we grieve the Spirit, we grieve the Father and the Son. That if we disobey what the Spirit tells us to do, we disobey the Father and the Son, because what the Spirit was telling us to do originated with the Father and the Son. So when we disobey, we are dishonoring the one who is in the midst of the throne. So it doesn't make any sense to lift our hands and worship him and sing songs to him while at the same time dishonoring him, because we're disobeying what the Spirit is telling us to do. That is the kind of hypocrisy that God sees through immediately. I think he probably closes his ears and says, I'm not going to listen until you come back on track. Hello? Now, God in his infinite wisdom has not left it to the individual inspiration of the sheep to be able to walk along that way. He has given them shepherds, pastors. And the job of the pastor, as we've seen in Psalm 23, is not to look after the sheep so that they feel nice and comfortable, but to lead them on that way. These are the people that God has ordained. I don't just mean in the narrow sense, but in the sense of calling them and setting them apart and putting them in place to fulfill this function. We're not talking about religion now, we're talking about where the church of God is the spiritual body of people that he intends his church to be. So the pastors are there to lead the sheep. So, of course, if the sheep aren't obeying their pastors, they're not obeying the Spirit, they're not obeying the Father, they're not obeying the Son, they're grieving the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, because they're not obeying the ones that God himself has put in place. Hello. What you get, therefore, is rebellious sheep who, instead of wanting to go with the flock, want to go in their own way. Now, that's precisely what the devil wants, for sheep to go their own way, because it's not long before they slip off the highway of holiness and become vulnerable to him. So it's the enemy that says to the sheep, you don't have to do what they tell you to do. You have got your own inspiration from heaven. You just do the thing that you believe God wants you to do, irrespective of anyone else. Now, of course, Jesus dealt the death blow to that before he went to the cross, because he said you're to love one another as I have loved you. And you can't love the brethren by slipping off the highway of holiness. You can only love them by staying with them. And he then prayed, Father, may they be one so that the world will know. Because you see, what God wants is not just individual sheep walking on the highway of holiness in the darkness of the world, but he wants bodies of believers that will be light to the darkness, so attractive to those that are in the swamp that they will want to come out of the swamp and onto the highway of holiness, because they see it so attractive, because they see the life that is in those who are walking that way. Are we getting this? So the Lamb in the midst of the throne is leading you, and in doing that is caring for you. Now turn to Hebrews chapter 7. Because this Lamb who is your shepherd is also your high priest. The high priest is the one who offers the sacrifice. So Jesus was both the sacrifice and the one who offered the sacrifice. You're getting too excited again. Now we read in verse 15, it is clear then that if another priest appears, one that is like Melchizedek, one who has no beginning or ending, his priesthood is not based on the regulations of the law, but on the fact that he ministers in the power of an eternal, indestructible life. You see, this highway of holiness leads to life, Jesus says. And that is the life that even now the shepherd from the midst of the throne ministers to those who are walking on that highway. It is the power of an eternal, indestructible life. Amen. Nothing can destroy that life. Nothing can even tarnish that life. It's, you know, Peter says that you have an inheritance in heaven that can never perish, spoil, or fade. It can't be touched in any way. It's yours. The enemy can't get up on that highway to do anything about it. It is yours. But what God intends is that you receive that eternal, indestructible life that he ministers into you now and every day of your life as you walk on that way. So it doesn't matter what aspect of that table that is set before you that you take hold of, it's always an aspect of that eternal, indestructible life. Nobody can destroy it. Nobody can take it from you. Amen. It's yours by the grace of God. Now, John, in the opening of his gospel, says that when the Word was made flesh, that those who knew him beheld his glory. So this highway is the way of glory. It's the way where God is glorified. He's not glorified in the swamp, but he's glorified in the lives of those who are rescued from the swamp. Are we getting this? And he's rescued you so that you can know his glory. He prayed, I have given them the glory that you gave me. So you belong to the glory. And those who walk on that way are therefore living for his glory. And he's ministering to you from the very heart of heaven in the power of an eternal and indestructible life. I don't know how I can put this any more, and you're still sort of sitting there like a load of chimpanzees. And you say, are they human or not? Are you with me?
Yes.
Amen.
This is just so wonderful. Praise God. Now, the only problem is that Jesus says this way is narrow. It's not a tightrope. So you don't have to walk along it wobbling, wondering if you're going to fall any minute. In fact, there are many scriptures that says he will strengthen your feet on that way. And he will go before you and level the way. So, you know, you don't have to fear that you're going to trip up as you walk on that way. So Jesus prayed that they would know his glory, that they would experience his glory as they walked on that way. God expects us to experience his glory. Because we belong to the glory, we're children of the glory. But you see, Jesus also, before he went to the cross, made it very clear that he was doing that in order to enable people to receive the life that they could only have on that way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life at the Last Supper. At the same time, he's promising the Holy Spirit. At the same time, he's giving this new command to love one another. At the same time, he's praying, Father, may they be one. Yes. It's a whole package. And it was a package intended to prepare people to walk on the way. Yeah. See, the interesting thing is, Jesus never gave his disciples any lectures or teachings on the dynamics of leadership. He never told them how to plant churches. He never gave them any principles of church growth. I don't know where all this stuff comes from, but what he gave them in the scriptures was all they needed to be able to walk on that way together in love and in unity. Amen. To take his life into the darkness of the world, to rescue people from the swamp and to bring them onto that way, and to enable them to fulfill the destiny for which they were called together as a body. Amen. Light in the midst of darkness. And he knew that there could be no substitute for simply walking together in that light, walking together in that life, walking together on that highway. Now, Isaiah's prophetic word that this is a highway of holiness is, you don't have to be put off by that. It simply means it's the highway of Jesus. Because Jesus is the Holy One. And Jesus was the one who walked and lived in holiness while he was here on earth. So to walk in holiness is just to do what Jesus did. Now, because he lives in you by the power of his Spirit, you can do that. So let's just see how this works then. I mean, just for purposes of demonstration, let's say heaven is up here. The Lamb that is your shepherd is in the midst of the throne. And you are walking down here on the highway of holiness. And he is ministering to you in the power of an eternal and indestructible life to keep you walking on that way. Now, the way he's doing that is as the Father and Son on the throne, he is communicating to the Spirit who lives in you to keep you walking on that way. Ahead of you, you have spiritual leaders just to check out that your radar is right. Just to check out that you are walking in the right way and you're not getting deceived or misconceived. That you're not listening to something from the enemy, because he can shout at you. He can fire darts at you, but he can't get up on that way. You have the shield of faith with which to parry all those darts, including all his attempts to deceive you personally, to get you walking in independence instead of unity. So you have those spiritual leaders to check things out with. And you know that if you are hearing what enables you to walk in unity with all the others, you're on course. But if you hear something that is going to separate you from others or make you different from everybody else, every alarm bell needs to be ringing in your spiritual ears. Because it's highly likely that that did not originate from the midst of the throne. Are you there?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He teaches you to walk in unity. Yes. Now, does that mean that God does not change the ministry direction of certain people? No, it doesn't mean that. He does that. He calls people, but he never calls them off the highway. He may call some people to establish something new, but not until they've learned to walk on the way in unity, in love, and submission to others, because he knows they couldn't be trusted. Hello? He's only going to trust those that have learned how to walk. Because they can't go and establish something else and teach others how to walk if they haven't done the walk themselves. So that's why Jesus says that you have to prove faithful in little things before he can put you in charge of bigger things. If you can't learn to love, to serve, to give, to bless, to live for the others that are on that highway, then he can't trust you to establish anything new, because it'll be established on the wrong basis, on the wrong principle. He can't even put you in a position of leadership where you're going to have responsibility for other sheep to make sure that they walk in the right way along this narrow way, unless you yourself are walking on that way. You can't be trusted.
Yes.
So, all the time there's a kind of a proving, a testing, as well as a building up and encouraging in our lives, so that he's preparing us for whatever ministries he has for the future. I mean, some of you students, you will be led into all kinds of different ministries in different places when you leave here, but not until you've learned to walk on that way in love and in unity and in submission one to another. This is a good Christmas message.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a good Advent message, because Advent means the coming. And you see, those who walk on the way are preparing for the second coming of Jesus. So that's what Advent is all about. It's not looking back to the first Advent. It's looking forward to the next one, when Jesus comes again. Hallelujah. So, we come back to the question that we started with. Are you walking on that narrow way? The flesh doesn't like the narrow way. The flesh sees all kinds of alluring things in the swamp. That's where sinners are, in their understanding, having a good time. Living for themselves, pleasing themselves. So Jesus says that you can only follow him on the narrow way if you deny yourself, if you deny your flesh, take up your cross and follow him. That won't take you out of the world, only in the sense that you will not live as the world lives, so that you can take his light into the world. So wherever you go, you walk on that highway. Can you understand?
Yes.
So sometimes you have to go into the places of deepest darkness, where all those around you are truly in bondage to the enemy. But you will not be affected or afflicted in any way, because you know where you belong. And what God will want to do is to use you to rescue them, or some of them, from that darkness, from the swamp. Now, people that walk in swamp get very dirty. The amazing thing is that as soon as they walk through the narrow gate, they get cleaned up. They're made brand new. So, those of you that used to walk in the swamp, you're no longer dirty. You no longer belong to the swamp. And you're not going to go back into the swamp and get dirty again. Now, while you're walking on the way, that seems self-evident. As you know, I'm going through scriptures translating themes at this moment in the Old Testament. And yesterday I was doing the wrath of God and backsliding. Let me tell you, if you see what the scripture says about the wrath of God, you're going to keep on the right side of him. And if you see in scripture what he says about backsliding, you won't even consider it. You know, people seem to have a casual attitude, well, if I backslide, it's all right, God will bring me back. But let me tell you, all kinds of dreadful things are prophesied over backsliders, without going into any details now. So you are always going to keep walking on that way. But it needs more than good intention. That's why your favorite word is
obedience.
No, that wasn't good enough. Your favorite word is
obedience.
Because it's only obedience that keeps you walking on that way. And obedience, Jesus says, comes out of love for him. So it's no use saying, I love you, Lord, unless you're walking in obedience. Because he says, no, you don't. Those are just words. So, you know, he can see whether we obey him or not. We can see whether we love him or not. But this doesn't mean that he's looking upon us, trying to trip us up. He called you onto that highway. He was the one who rescued you from the swamp. He is the one who took you out of the enemy's clutches, safe and secure from what he could do to you.
Yes.
He rescued you.
Right.
Come on. He redeemed you.
Amen.
Yes. He saved you.
Yes.
But he saved you for himself. He saved you for his purposes. And he put his Holy Spirit in you to enable you to walk on that way.
Yes. Come on.
So where does this leave us? It leaves us with a need to understand that daily we listen, the Word and the Spirit. Daily we obey what He says. Daily we live to honor Him. Daily we take the shield of faith that quenches all the stuff the enemy throws at us. Daily we resist any temptation to become independent, any temptation to compromise with sin, any temptation to become selfish, self-centered, and slide down that slippery bank. Once you start to slip, it's very difficult to stop. So the best thing is to keep walking on that way. Now the one who is in the midst of the throne, that is His intention for you. That is what He is shepherding you to do in the power of an eternal, indestructible life. That is why He has prepared a table before you, so that everything you need for life and godliness is yours. 2 Peter 1. So when He rescued you, you became a holy person.
Right.
Set apart to walk on the highway of holiness. And the last thing we need to see about this is that everybody who walks on that way is fruitful.
Yes.
Yes. Amen.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes. Come on.
But they are fruitful in producing fruit that lasts. Because they're being shepherded by the one who is eternal life.
Yes.
He is eternal life. So praise God. You are going to bear much fruit.
Yes.
So of course, as for some of you students, your first term at Rophi comes to an end this week. Your walk on the highway does not come to an end. You take that highway home with you. You take it into your home church. You take it into your family. You take it even among those relatives that you're glad you only have to see once a year. You do not depart from that way. You do not say, well, I can just flirt a little bit with this and that and the other because, you know, these people, they live, that I have to go and be among, they live at a different way, a different standard. They're not believers. They're not Christians. They don't walk. No, no. You will keep true to your principles, walking in the way of Jesus, and you will not depart from that so that you become a shining light in the midst of that darkness. That might mean that you get ridiculed, but it's better to do that than to depart from the narrow way, just to be popular.
Yes.
You see, the big mistake that has been made by most of the denominational churches is they've tried to become like the swamp in order to win people in the swamp. But you can't win people in the swamp if you're swamp yourself. Hello? You can only affect the darkness if you are light. So during these coming weeks, your light is going to shine before men. That they will see your good works. So actually, they're the works of the one who is in the center of the throne who is working through you. They will see your good works and they will give glory to your Father in heaven. And you can believe that this Christmas time, God, by his mercy and grace, is going to use you to rescue someone.
Come on. Amen.
That someone's going to come out of the swamp, through the narrow gate, and onto the highway, because they see the light of life in you. Amen? Let's all stand. Praise God. Now just lift your hands and begin to thank the Lord. Thank him for your salvation. Thank him that he rescued you. That you're not in the swamp. It's muddy, sticky, tacky, dirty in the swamp. He rescued you. He washed you. He cleansed you. He made you new. Hallelujah. The one who is in the midst of the throne rescued you. Hallelujah. Oh, we praise you, Jesus. Thank him that you have passed through the narrow gate and you never need to look back. There's no looking back. There's no turning back, because you passed through that gate and you're not going back through it. Hallelujah. Oh, we praise you, Jesus. Thank him that he placed your feet on that narrow way, and by his grace you are walking on that narrow way. Hallelujah. Thank him that he's leading you by his Spirit. And your Spirit, and the Spirit is telling you what the Lamb in the midst of the throne is saying. He is directing your life. Just thank the Lord that he is directing your life from the very center of the throne. Hallelujah. So the life of heaven is communicated to you by the Holy Spirit. The voice of heaven. The direction from heaven. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord that you are indestructible. You are eternal, because he has given you his eternal, indestructible life. Hallelujah. Thank him that that power of an indestructible life overcomes every other power. It's a power that cannot be measured against any other power. It is so much greater. Thank him that he's put that power in you by the Holy Spirit. And according to the direction from heaven, that power is released through your life day by day. Come on, thank him for that. Praise him for that. Kurata parazata bakarasito disatuba. Hallelujah. Thank him that you have the light of life. Thank him that because he's the good shepherd, you can never be in need. Hallelujah. Purata parazata bakarazitaba. You lack nothing. Every need is met. Every need is met. He has given you everything you need for life and godliness. He has prepared that table before you. The enemy cannot touch that table. The enemy cannot steal anything from you that is on that table. Oh, thank him that he has made you a man or woman of faith so you can lay hold of the inheritance. You can take hold of what is on that table. It's yours by his grace. Thank him that day by day it's grace upon grace, grace upon grace, grace upon grace, grace upon grace. Praise you, Jesus. Purata parazata bakarazito risatuba. Balata paria letu bakarazito risanduba. Balata paria letu bakarazito risanduba. Bala tapari elero bakara sito di sandoma. Hallelujah. Now ask him to give you a fresh compassion for those that are in the swamp. You don't judge them for being in the swamp. You have compassion for them. Can you see that swamp is like quicksand? And in quicksand, you sink lower and lower and lower till finally you get drowned in it. You get killed. They're in that swamp and they're sinking. And if you've ever seen anybody caught in a quicksand, they cannot get out themselves. It's impossible. In fact, the more you struggle to get out, the quicker you sink when you're in quicksand. I saw a television program some time ago where they were actually showing you someone in quicksand and how they had to be rescued. And the first thing they said to this person is, you've got to keep still. You must not fight to get out because you'll sink deeper. And that's what the world's like. You can't rescue yourself. You can't get out of that quicksand. But I tell you, they're sinking and sinking fast every day. More and more people go under, never to be seen. But we need to have compassion. Are you there? Oh Lord, use each one of us in this room to rescue others from that swamp. Even during this coming holiday period, Lord, may we take the light of life into the darkness. Thank you that we can walk where there's quicksand, and because we're on the highway of holiness, you are a rock beneath our feet, and we will not sink. All around us, people can be sinking, but we're standing on rock. So we praise you, Lord. We bless you. And Lord, we want you to use us to pull others out. They can't rescue themselves. But oh God, we believe that you're going to lead us to those who you have predestined before the creation of the world to become yours. They're going to hear. They're going to see the light. They're going to see the life. They're going to want to be rescued. They're going to cry out to you for salvation. Puratapa karazita risatupa. Lord, we just pray that people that we know, people that we love, will see what danger they're in if they're not saved. And they won't just regard this Christian life as our thing that we do, but they will see their need. We ask, Lord, that your Holy Spirit goes with us to bring people under conviction of their sin and of their need of you, of their need to be rescued, of their need to be saved. Especially any, Lord, that are enjoying the swamp because they don't realize what danger they're in yet. Oh, we praise you, Jesus. We believe that as we come together at the beginning of next term, we'll have lots of testimonies of people being rescued over this Christmas period, of people coming through the gate, being cleaned up, being made new, becoming a new creation, and beginning their walk on the highway of holiness. How we thank you, Lord. Thank you that you are our shepherd, shepherding us from the midst of the throne. Thank you that you have provided shepherds for us to lead us so we stay together as one. That we're not walking just individually, but we're walking as a body. We're walking as a people. We're walking as those who love one another. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Potapara zata bakala sitori santoma. What a mighty God. Now, I just want you to pray that by His grace, God will keep you faithful to the end. Now, faithful to the end is faithful to the end of your walk on that highway of holiness when you will enter Zion singing with joy. That you will prove faithful in whatever He puts before you, so that He can then trust you to do greater things, trust you in greater ways. Pray that you will be a person who is so obedient and so submissive to the Lord, to those that He sets over you, that you will have such a servant heart that He will be able to use you to establish new things. New kingdom things. I believe there are people in this room that God wants to raise up in such a way. But He can't trust you to do that until you've proved faithful in the place where He's already put you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that you promised that you would do this. That you will keep us holy in spirit, soul, and body. You are faithful, and you will do this. We thank you for the progress that have made already. And we recognize that's all the work of your love, of your mercy, and of your grace. And we thank you that these coming months are going to be months of rapid further progress in your purposes, in our walk with you. And we thank you that you will give us the encouragement of fruitfulness as we walk on that way with you. Praise you, Jesus. Puparazata bakarazita balandaba. Papakarazata bakarazita risandama. This, I'm reading from Hebrews. This new and better way was established by the promises He gave under solemn oath. No oath was sworn by God in establishing the Levitical priesthood under the law. But when God swears a promise on His own honor, His word cannot be changed. And God said to His Son, "The Lord has taken an oath and will never change His mind. You are an eternal priest." He refers, of course, to the priesthood of Jesus, who guarantees that we are part of a better covenant. we are able to enjoy a closer relationship with God than was possible under the law. Jesus lives eternally. He has a permanent priesthood by which he is able to save completely all those who come to God through faith in him. He lives continually to intercede on their behalf through his blood shed for them. Such a wonderful and eternal high priest is able, therefore, to meet every need we could ever have. For he is holy, blameless, pure, totally different in nature from sinners, and is now exalted and reigning in heaven. Hallelujah. Oh, we thank you, Jesus, that you are our high priest, that you're our shepherd, that we know your voice and can follow you. Come on, let's just begin to praise him.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.